Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 35. I'm your host, Holly Falmouth, and I am joined today by Bradley Cragen.
Hello there, everybody.
So we are, once again, kind of just a little... What do we call ourselves? The dynamic duo last time?
Yeah, like Batman and Robin.
Yeah. This will be the last week, though. The wait for Matt's return is almost over next week, so the first week in November, we're gonna have Matt back on the show, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, we can be the Three Musketeers again.
Yeah, we really missed him. We missed him and all his awesome recent swag.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of recent swag, let's start with talking about recent swag today. Did you get anything this week, Bradley?
Yes, I did. I don't know, was it this week? Yeah, on Monday. Nintendo sent me a review copy for Yoshi's Woolly World, so I got a copy of that. The bundle, actually, with the green Yoshi, so I got that little cuddly little guy.
It's about time.
I know. They said I was, they told me on Friday I was getting it, so shipped over the weekend, and then I got it on Monday. But I think that's about it for physical stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I got the same, on the same day and everything, so... This
Yoshi.
Past Monday. Yeah. Oh, that cute little amiibo. It's so irresistible. Wanted all three. I wanted all three of the different colored yarn Yoshis. And for good reason, they ended up being even cuter than I could have possibly imagined.
Did you get all three of them?
Not yet. I got the pink one earlier this week also. So I have green and pink. Waiting on the blue one, which will be coming, I hope, on Tuesday. That's the estimated delivery date, which kind of sucks. I mean, I ordered it on Monday. So it'll be a day or a week and a day.
Yeah. Where are you buying it from?
I got it from GameStop online.
I like Amazon. Woot woot.
Yeah. I got the pink one from Amazon, so I got that delivered in 2 days. Very nice.
Yeah, they're pretty fast.
Yeah, but they didn't have, like, an actual, you know, United States, North American blue Yoshi. Otherwise, I totally would have gotten Yoshi from there. So I looked at some other retailers and decided to go for GameStop to get blue. And maybe they're having stock troubles already, which wouldn't surprise me. In fact, I'm kind of surprised that I was able to order one at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll come eventually. My set will be complete eventually, except... I probably won't get Mega Yarn Yoshi.
I was just going to mention that.
As much as I want that, $40 is just a bit too much.
For a stuffed animal?
Yeah. Yeah. Even like, okay, the Yarn Yoshi Amiibo, the normal size ones, they're kind, you know, they're not much bigger than normal Amiibo. They are made out of yarn, yes, and they are super adorable. But they are $17 compared to the usual, what, like $13 for normal Amiibos? Yeah, Nintendo just knew that these amiibos would be in really high demand, and I feel like Nintendo's actually kind of milking it for all it's worth, so they've increased the prices for them.
I guess because there takes a bit more work to make them?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how they go about doing that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that pretty much covers my recent swag as well. So, that was a really brief but awesome recent swag for this week. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm assuming that we have both been playing Yoshi's Woolly World, correct?
Maybe. Yeah, I've been playing it.
Oh, for a minute I was like, you really haven't been playing it? What?
I just played it before we did the podcast.
Ah, so what do you think?
It is really awesome.
Yeah? More
and
details?
Cute.
Yeah? That's what I got from it, too.
So, the thing I like about it, I guess it's kind of like true with all the Yoshi games, it's the exploration aspect of the game. That's kind of like the main thing about it.
Yeah.
Other than that, the game's pretty easy, but when you try to find all the hidden secrets, that's when the game starts to get hard. But
yeah, that gets really tough.
I really like it. It's really fun.
So, I haven't really noticed if you die, do you lose beads like in Kirby's Epic Yarn?
No.
Haven't really noticed. Okay, so is there any real, like, consequence for... I mean, there's no extra lives.
You just go back to the last checkpoint, which can be annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Annoying as in it's too easy, or...
Well, no, I mean, like, the checkpoints can be spread out pretty far sometimes, so if you die, like, towards the end of a stage, you have to go way back to the checkpoint and collect all the things you collected before. again.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's where they tried to put the challenge.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like you say, it's really easy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like it. It's really fun and adorable.
Yeah. Have you... Okay, I know... I think I know what the answer is going to be, but have you played the local multiplayer at all?
No.
Okay. I'll talk a little bit about that, because I've been focusing on that. I actually have only completed, by myself, the first world. But with my little sister, I have also completed the first world. So you could say that I have basically played two worlds worth of the game.
Okay.
Local multiplayer. People on Twitter were really, I don't know, they were almost scaring me with their talk about how difficult the local multiplayer was. And so I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm going to be patient with my sister. I never am, but I'm going to do it. So I steeled myself. And now that I've played through the first world completely in local multiplayer mode, it wasn't that hard. Maybe it's because I was prepped for it, but it didn't seem that hard to me. Just gotta have a little bit of patience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of played local multiplayer because I used the Yarn Yoshi, and that kind of acts as your second dude. Got in the way.
Yeah, it's, I guess that is kind of how local multiplayer would be. That takes a lot of, like, almost hand-eye coordination that most gamers actually do have, so it's not too hard, but yeah, that's the only thing with the local co-op mode is that sometimes you may get in each other's way.
Yeah, and the problem was I was fighting a boss, and you have to, like, latch on to the little, to their yarn with your tongue, right? But the...
Yeah.
The extra Yarn Yoshi would always be in the front of me, so I'd always grab the Yoshi instead. It was kind of annoying. But, yeah, other than that, the Yarn Yoshi kind of comes in handy sometimes if you run out of yarn balls and you can just use it as a projectile.
Yeah, I almost feel like that, like, I tried out, obviously, as well, the double Yoshi in single-player mode, and mostly I think it's actually there just to create kind of a different feel of gameplay. Because it does, it makes the game feel really different, and actually a little more challenging for the most part, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Makes it a little bit more challenging.
Are you just a pro at it, and so it's not...
I just like doing it by myself, man. I'm a lone ranger.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of point to going back and playing games with Double Yoshi, which makes this one of the worst games for amiibo use.
Yeah, except for the costumes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, of course. And those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just because we're on the subject, let's talk a little bit about those. What's your favorite amiibo pattern so far for Yoshi?
Ooh, I liked Ness and Bowser.
Okay. I don't have either of those amiibo, so.
Well, what about you then?
my favorite is possibly Zero Suit Samus.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, Yoshi's kind of like the top of his head and the spikes running down kind of his head and back.
Uh-huh.
They turn blonde and it really looks like a ponytail and it's awesome. The first time I scanned it in, I laughed out loud. So I just have to go with that one by default. Everyone wants to know about what I think about Lucina probably because she's kind of my go-to amiibo and character. She's okay. The pattern, it's just, you know, blue with a little bit of gold and, yeah.
Does it look like her?
Same with Marth. Not a whole lot, to be honest.
No. I guess it's kind of hard to make it look like a Fire Emblem character.
Yeah. Do you have the Mr. Game & Watch amiibo?
Oh, I don't. I wonder what he looks like.
Huh. Well, I won't spoil it for you.
Aw, man.
But those of you out there who do have Mr. Game & Watch and have scanned him into Yoshi's Woolly World, it's an interesting one.
He better be, two-dimensional. That'd be awesome.
You'll see, maybe. I don't know. You can always look up a video if you really want to.
Yeah, true.
That's an interesting one for sure. Really cool, like, the whole pattern, different patterns of Yoshi thing, I think is actually a pretty good use of amiibo and a good use of... making those little yarn bundles in the levels. It's fun to try to collect those. And they're not too difficult, which is good for my sister. She doesn't care about any of the other collectibles unless she's out of hearts in the middle of the level. Then she's all like, give me those hearts!
Yeah.
So she loves collecting those yarn balls and creating the new patterns, and it's not too hard, but you still have to do a little digging to find those. So good collectibles. And it's like you say, Bradley, the game's just fun to explore and kind of relax while playing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I, like, when I'm doing through a going through a level, I feel like I've looked through every single corner and nook and cranny, but then I get to the end of the level and there's stuff I missed, which it's pretty crazy how kind of like where they put the, how hidden away, tucked yeah. away the stuff is.
Yeah, some of it can be. The hardest thing I find to find are the hearts. Does any, do you have like a hint for how to find more hearts in a level? Because I struggle.
Well, every time you hit a checkpoint, you get more hearts. So
do those count toward your like collectible? Yeah.
You just have to have 100% health by the end of the level.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the hearts are. That's your health.
Okay, that hint is more than enough for me. So now I know.
Yeah, when you're like when your little meter is all gold, that means you have 20 out you of have 20 all hearts. Your hearts. Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought that I was just missing parts of a level because I couldn't find all the hearts, and it was starting to frustrate me. Now I know. That's the best possible hint I could have asked for.
Oh, so yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about with Yoshi's Woolly World?
No. I don't think so.
Huh. Well, did you want to talk about anything else? It sounded like you did.
Not with Yoshi.
Okay. Well, shoot. We're done with Yoshi for now. It's adorable. Enough yes. said.
Well, what game came out on Friday?
Oh, yeah. Triforce Heroes. For some reason, I thought you talked about that last episode, though.
I did. Maybe just a little? I couldn't. It was embargoed. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it in a little more detail. My first question, actually, is, this is kind of an odd question, but I need the answer. So everyone who owns the game is going to be at a different point. They're going to have a different level of progress.
Uh-huh.
Right? So how, say you haven't made a whole lot of progress, but you go online and you get matched up with somebody who has made more progress.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, how does that work? Like, do you just get to jump ahead, or do they have to go down to your level, or are you matched up with people who are at your same level? How does that all work?
You get to jump around, basically. So if you're only on the first world, and you play with someone who's already beaten the game, and they pick a level like in World 8, you can play that level.
Okay. So is this game a little bit like A Link Between Worlds in that you can basically pick whatever world you want right off the bat? Like, you can go wherever?
No. Only in multiplayer, when someone who's already beaten the game, they can choose any level they want, but you can't. You can only pick the levels that you have already unlocked. So, and they unlock in a set, like, World 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then after you beat those, you'll get, like, 5 and 6, and then 7 and 8 or whatever.
All right. That's interesting. So you can kind of be, I don't know, spoiled? But playing with people who are further than you?
You don't really get spoiled. I mean, there's not much story and stuff like that. So it doesn't really matter.
That's true.
Which way you do it.
So if you were to play with somebody online at a stage that's higher than where you're at,
I actually did this.
Would your copy of the game consider that beaten too?
Yes. So I actually did. I was only on like world. I don't think I beat world 1 through 4, but then we played world 6 and we beat every single one of those levels. But when I tried to like play them in single player, they were blocked out. I had to beat worlds 1 through 4, but they were already completed. I just couldn't play through that world again until I got there. If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Yeah. That was kind of a confusing question, but really the only really pressing question that was on my mind. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with the game?
Play with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, play with friends. Single player is not that fun.
Okay. I can't imagine it is. It seems a little tedious to have to switch between all your different... Oh my gosh, I forget what they all... Doppels, right?
You are correct.
Yeah, I finally got that word down. So, yeah, that does seem a little tedious. I'm excited. I've actually got plans to play it with. I don't have the game yet, obviously. Otherwise, I might know some of these answers to my own questions. But I do have plans. I'm going to have the game next week. So at the end of the week, I figured it'd be safe to plan this at the end of the week. Have a couple of friends coming over to play it. I think maybe I actually mentioned that last episode, though. So
Yeah. It's
just goes to show how excited I am.
It's kind of got a little Monster Hunter feel with the whole costume thing and how you get materials. Because it's kind of random. There's three treasure chests at the end of a level, and there's you have to pick one of the treasure chests, and it's kind of like a random item. So, and you use those materials to build costumes. So it reminds me of Monster Hunter.
Kind of a loot system.
Yeah. Just
so each of the three Links gets one of the treasure chests?
Yes.
So you only get one at the end of the level?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you play it single player, does that mean you get more loot?
No, you just get one.
Oh, lame!
You just have to pick one.
Yeah, if you go through all that trouble to play it all by yourself. Okay. Well, we're getting into the nitty gritty here, so this is good to know.
At least your teammates can't steal all the treasure chests.
Treasure chests? That would kind of suck. So what's your favorite costume?
Ooh, my favorite costume. There's a sword. Theme. I think it was a sword suit or something like that, and it's kind of like the original Zelda where you shoot a beam when you have full health, and that's basically what the costume does.
Okay, do you like it for its looks or for the function?
For the function. I mean, the costume's cool, too. It has a little cape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite looking one, then?
Oh, man. The Goron suit's cool. Hmm. You get to look like a Goron.
And swim through lava. That function is cool, too.
Yeah, there's some costumes that are pretty helpful for certain areas. Like, when you're playing in a pitch black level, there's a light suit that will shine a light. And the Goron suit for the lava levels. There's Zora's suit for the water levels. Stuff like that. So they're pretty helpful in certain scenarios.
Okay. So just that one where you shoot the beam out of your sword is just the most generally overall useful.
Yeah, that one's pretty nice, just because you can hit enemies from afar.
Oh, do you have to have full health for it to work, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of stinks.
Yeah, a little. That's definitely a throwback. Oh, since you share health. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that. So much for that. If you're playing with crappy people, anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to get all the costumes. It takes quite a bit of time. I don't even have that many, like 5 out of like 30.
Wow. That is, wow. Dang. Well, I guess I'll probably just have to schedule multiple play sessions with my friends, otherwise we're not going to be able to even beat the game just in one night.
There is like 128 stages. So,
whoa, really?
Well, yeah, when you count all the challenge maps, which are basically harder variations of the main level.
Oh, don't know if we'll want to do that, but, you know, maybe my friends will end up loving it.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah. The only problem is scheduling, of course. Everyone has a life, you know, so.
Where are you going to
see how far I can get with my friends.
Are you going to play download play?
Yeah.
So, the cool thing about download play, whoever's downloading the game, like, through download play, all that progress they make in the game with you, if they go ahead and buy the game, they will be able to transfer all that progress over to their actual game cart.
Oh, that's another question I was thinking about asking, but then I realized that you don't really play with local people, so
yeah,
maybe you wouldn't know.
I just heard that somewhere on Twitter or something like that. I thought it was pretty neat.
That's cool if it's true, yeah. Yeah. I might just end up convincing at least one of my friends. My brother has a 3DS. He doesn't really want to play with us, though. Lame-o. But I'll be using his 3DS for another friend of mine who doesn't have a 3DS. The other friend does own a 3DS, though, so I may just end up convincing her to get the game in the end.
Nice.
But I don't know if she can just, mooch off of me. She probably will just keep doing that. So,
yeah.
We'll see. Well, cool. I think that pretty much covers what we've been playing. We got really, really good details out of Bradley on that game, for sure. Well, you know, those of us who haven't played Triforce Heroes so that's good.
I got one more. Yeah? Have you tried the Yo-Kai Watch demo?
No, I haven't.
It was...
I don't like demos very much, to be honest, unless it's like... Like, I didn't even try that Triforce Heroes demo. The most exciting demo... Yeah, the most exciting demo I ever had was... the Smash Bros. Early demo for the 3DS. Oh, yeah. I could not wait to play that, so...
Yeah, that was a good demo.
Other than that, yeah. That and the Bravely Default demo, which, of course, as I have mentioned before, I played for over 12 hours total. So... Yeah, what's the Yo-Kai Watch demo like? You've played it, then I take it?
Yeah, it's pretty short. You just do a few Yo-Kai battles, basically. That's basically it. Travel around a little overworld, and it's the battle system is kind of interesting. It took me a little bit to figure it out, like, how it works. It's not like Pokemon, so...
So throw all those assumptions away, people.
Yeah, besides just, like, collecting the yokai, the battle system and stuff is not like Pokemon. It's more real-time-ish a little bit.
Oh.
But still turn-based. I like that idea. A little... Yeah. It's interesting.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
So anything else about the game? Does it, like, ooze charm or anything?
Not really through the demo, but, I mean, when I... Outside of the game, just, like, looking at all the different yokais and what they do, they're actually kind of funny. Like, one of the yokai is, like, a cat that died because it got hit by a car.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny. And then there's, like...
That's a little dark for, a little game for, like, 8-year-olds.
Yeah. And then there's, like, a grandma yokai that likes to talk a lot. They all have, like, little quirks about them. Huh. One makes you hungry, another one makes you sad, and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I have read that yokai kind of represent the biggest concerns that children have today.
I don't know.
It's kind of odd.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, I just read it in the, press releases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. I guess we'll find out what that game's about later on when somebody on the podcast hopefully plays it, because I'm not gonna...
I think I'm supposed to get it.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because I'm not planning on it, I'm sad to say.
If I do, probably be next week.
Huh. Okay. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, this episode of the podcast is our Halloween special. It's a little early for Halloween, especially if you're listening to this on Monday, the 26th, when this podcast will air.
This is the Spoopy podcast.
Yep. Spoopy special. Special Spoopy. I hope you guys get that, you listeners. So, like I said, it's a little early, but that's because this is the last week that we will be recording during the month of October. Or, it's the last episode that'll come out during October. So we wanted to, get it out of the way. Yeah, we may record during October still next week, but the podcast, next week's episode won't come out till November 2nd.
True.
So Halloween will be over at that time. Funny enough, today I worked at the little library in my hometown, which is where I work. So I went to work today and we were encouraged to dress up, the employees that is. And guess what I dressed up as, or who, rather?
Ooh, librarian.
Close. Actually, not really. I dressed up as a certain plumber that we all know and love. Yes, I did. It's a pretty basic costume, so... Funny enough, even though it's like a week before Halloween, I dress up as Mario today, so that was fun. Got a lot of comments on that. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about frightening games that we have played in the spirit of Halloween. And then at the end of the episode, we have a very special surprise for you listeners. So
let's hope it turns out okay.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm pretty sure it'll be awesome. So, stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to talk about scary games that we've played. Bradley, do you want to start? Do you have any serious ones? Because most of mine are silly.
Oh, man, I got a good one. This one scared me growing up. Ocarina of Time.
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, there's always the Shadow Temple,
Oh,
or was
man.
It the Water Temple that scared you?
Pretty much after you... become an adult Link, that's kind of like where all the scary stuff is. I mean, there's all the Rededs and Hyrule Castle. Forest Temple is scary. The Fire Temple scared me. Shadow Temple, Under the Well, with like the, what is that, the Dead Hand, whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it's called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Ugh.
The thing that grabs
you. That kind of, like, skin-colored thing.
Yeah, and it tries to bite your head off.
Patches of pink, yeah, with that giant jaw.
Oh, and the Wallmasters. Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm starting to get where you're coming from now.
Yeah, I remember being totally scared of that game, and I had to have my mom be next to me while I played the game.
Oh, little Bradley with his mom next to him playing Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, game is rated E.
Yeah, some games, like the games on my list will kind of surprise you.
They surprised me.
Yeah, the first one I put on my list is probably the most, I just kind of put them in order. I put three games on the list for me, in order of like what you would not expect to more what you would expect for scary games. So the first one on my list is Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Which is crazy.
That game. Okay. Really? It's only one thing. One day I was walking around my town and there was a scorpion and I thought, oh my gosh, rare bug. I gotta catch it. As soon as I pull out my bug net though, that thing starts chasing me. I screamed out loud. My brother was playing a different game, like on the couch next to me, and he's just like, what on earth? I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die in Animal Crossing by a scorpion. So that scared the heck out of me, and it would not stop chasing me until I don't even know when. I think I ended up getting stung. Those things are evil.
You should have ran into a building.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, like when you're getting chased by bees.
Oh, yeah. I probably actually was holding out hope that I'd still be able to catch it. Maybe I could tire it out and still catch it. I wanted to catch it, even though it was frightening.
Well.
But I never did.
Scaredy Holly. Scared by a scorpion.
Yeah. Have you caught a scorpion in Animal Crossing?
I don't think so. But I could see why you could be scared of those things, little creepy crawlers.
And I did not expect it to do this. I mean, I was just, you know, getting my bug net out all, you know, happy and go lucky. And suddenly it starts chasing me like it's the devil on wheels or something. Yeah, that was frightening.
It is a scorpion. They aren't the nicest things.
Yeah. I guess maybe it shouldn't have surprised me so much. But if any of the listeners out there have ever caught a scorpion in Animal Crossing New Leaf, tell me about it. Like, tell me how to do that in case it ever happens to me again. So, I'd love to hear your story about catching a scorpion.
Maybe you have to sneak up on it.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. I mean, I was just standing right next to it when I was trying to, you know, it was just sitting there. And I started cycling through my items and got the bug net. And as soon as I got that bug net, that thing was on my heels.
Oh, he knew what you were doing, man.
Yeah, it was scary. So yeah, that was my first pick for scariest games that I have played personally. So what would your next pick be, Bradley?
It's a Wii game.
Okay.
And it's called Resident Evil 4.
Ah, okay. Kind of a more predictable one.
Yes. This one's actually scary.
Yeah.
all the zombies and stuff, and just the theme and being in the dark and stuff like that. It's pretty spooky.
So if it's not a spoiler, tell me about the chainsaw guy, because that's all I hear about when people talk about that game.
Yeah,
it's not a spoiler type thing, is it? Okay.
You encounter them multiple times. They're just like a common enemy, I guess you can say, just more tough. They're tougher.
Oh.
Yeah, like the first time you meet him, I actually don't remember the first time. I think he was just standing there. And with the chainsaw going, and you hear the chainsaw, and he's just standing there, and you just walk closer to him, and then finally he just starts running after you. And
it's like that scorpion.
Yeah. And once you do get hit, you get cut in half.
To shreds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I can see why that would be frightening. Tough enemies. It's like that time in Monster Hunter when a Tetsukabra, a G-rank Tetsukabra,
jumps out of the ground.
Yeah, not even out of the ground. I was up on a ledge, and for you listeners, here's a little background. We were recording episode 30, and I was playing Monster Hunter, and I was talking, and in Monster Hunter, I was just doing harvest quests, And I use my harvest armor, which is not very good. And so in this harvest quest in G rank, there's a Tetsukabra that could take me out in two hits. So I really try to avoid it. And it scares the heck out of me when it, you know, like pounces or whatever. So I was on a ledge and suddenly, and I'm talking on the podcast at this time, suddenly that Tetsukabra just up, like it jumps right up on the ledge right in front of me. And I literally reacted on the show. Just with an exclamation that actually kind of fit enough to where I didn't edit it out. And so, yeah.
is that the monster that, like, goes into the mud? Or...
No. I don't think it is. I mean, there's muddy monster in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate called the Baroth.
Yeah, maybe that's the one I was thinking of.
Well, the Tetsukabra it's a sunken hollow monster, and so it does spend a lot of time underground, kind of.
Yeah, he's like rocky, right?
Kind yeah.
Okay.
Toad with tusks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the Tetsukabra for you. It's pretty ugly customer.
He's cute.
So. Not this hunt. He wasn't. Especially in G rank, man. That thing could have torn me to pieces.
I can beat that thing with my left hand.
That's precisely why I don't actually play horror games. Also, you know, a lower-ranked Tetsukabra, I could beat with my left hand, too. But yeah, you can see why I don't play horror games. But the next game on my list was Pikmin 3, another seemingly harmless game.
Uh-huh.
With a heart of darkness.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever beaten Pikmin 3?
Yes, I have.
Okay, do you remember kind of the... I think it's the first phase of the final boss... Where this, like, gooey gold-looking, like, thing just, like, chases you through the caves.
Yeah.
That thing scared the heck out of me.
Okay, I can understand why that scares you. Yeah, the chase scenes are kind of scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's something like... Have you beaten Twilight Princess as well?
I have, but I don't remember chase scene.
It is in the Twilight Palace, those hands that, like, hold on to those yellow orbs called souls...
I don't remember that.
You don't remember those hands? You have to kind of steal the orb from the hand, and then you have to carry it back through the wing of the palace that you're in.
I kind of remembered something a little bit.
It's a little Wallmaster-like, because as it starts, you know, floating next to you, you can see the shadow of the hand over you.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh.
That reminds me a little bit. A kind of faint recollection of that.
Yeah, gosh. Again... Another excellent reason why I don't play horror games. All right,
that's
so
not a horror game.
Exactly. That's the point. Like, if a non-horror game can scare the heck out of me, I'm not playing horror games, man. So, what would be next on your list?
You know what? Now that you said Twilight Princess, I'm gonna have to say Twilight Princess. There's one part in that game that I still remember. It's at the abominable snowman part, whatever the mansion when you. Go up to fight the wife.
Yeah.
The boss, and she, like, it zooms in close to her face, and then, like, it's kind of like a jump scare.
Yeah.
She has, like, red eyes or something like that.
Yeah, and teeth, like, fangs.
Yeah, that scared me.
She goes from, like, this fluffy, cuddly, you know, kindly, abominable snow woman.
Yeah.
To this, like, devil, man. She does a Bilbo Baggins, and, like, her whole face changes.
And also, there's another part where Zelda, when she gets controlled by Ganon, I think, which I guess is a spoiler, but that was kind of freaky.
Phantom Zelda or
something?
Puppet Zelda? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Puppet Zelda.
Yeah, I don't remember that ever scaring me too much.
I guess just the way she looked a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Blank eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see it now.
But the abominable snowman. That got
me. Abominable snow woman.
Yeah.
The she-devil.
Pretty much.
So if you, for those of our listeners who've never played Twilight Princess, just go play that game. Especially, like, I mean, if Twilight Princess HD does happen, perfect opportunity for you right there. It's definitely worth playing.
Whoop whoop.
So that you'll know about the abominable snow woman, if nothing else. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next game, next and final game on my list is Metroid Prime. This is kind of the more serious one because the game is very atmospheric and it does go for those jump scares a lot. Those stupid space pirates that hide on the ceiling and then they, some of them are invisible and they'll drop down and it's like, where are you? And yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah. A lot of jump scares in that game for me especially.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. Probably the most, I screamed out loud at this part. There's a part where you're just walking through kind of this dark room. There's probably some kind of like electrical thing that has been, you know, cut and there's like electrical flashes coming from it. Uh-huh. And there's a Metroid containment unit. And, you know, you see Metroids floating around in these units a lot and, you know, nothing ever really happens. They're pretty secure in there. But in this one room, a Metroid just pops out. I screamed out loud during that part and actually others in Metroid Prime when I first played through the game. So,
okay.
That's my last pick. Scary games right there.
That one isn't just like an isolated event. That one's kind of like multiple times throughout the game.
Yeah, it happens. I think at least once or twice the Metroid's breaking out of the glass. And Metroids are creepy, man. They're creepy in Metroid Prime.
Especially when they latch onto your head.
Yeah. That's the part where I simply get frustrated. But if they're chasing me around or if they're just floating around all menacing, kind of ignoring me, I'm like, come over here so I can shoot you. But they're just floating around and
just yeah. acting all innocent.
Yeah. Oh, so evil. So how about you, Bradley? Any more games for your list?
Oh, man. Probably. Oh, no. Nah.
So I guess you haven't been playing Fatal Frame then, which came out.
I have not. I don't know if I'll get it. I guess I can try the demo.
Oh, yeah. I guess there is one of those for that game.
I just have to download it, which takes a little bit of time.
All right. So did you have an idea? It sounded like you did.
Yeah, it wasn't a Nintendo game, though.
Oh, well, throw it out there. Why not?
Okay. This one is just, like, for the creepy critters. King Kong on the Xbox 360. You know, like, in the movie, the newer movie, with, like, the giant bugs?
Which I haven't seen. But giant bugs, you've got me at giant bugs. So.
Yeah, there's giant bugs, like centipedes. So, in that game, you have, like, limited ammo and stuff like that. Only, like, spears and, like, sometimes pistols only with limited ammo. But there's, like, these giant centipedes that just you have to kill. And they're just, give me the willy. Give me the willies.
The heebie-jeebies?
Yeah.
So what, do you have to shoot them, like, 100 times? Is that how many legs a centipede has? 100 or something?
Centipede. Yeah, cent is 100.
Or 10. But... Huh. I guess that would be 100. Do you have to shoot them like 100 times or something?
No, they die pretty quickly. It's just, they're just gross looking.
Okay. Celtus in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. That gives me the heebie-jeebies too.
Yes, what does that one look like?
The Celtus? It's a giant bug with like a horn. It's actually a pretty, it's kind of a pushover, especially later on in the game. Especially after you meet the Celtus Queen. Okay. Does that not ring a bell? Yeah, it's just bug-like.
I know it. I think I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, that disturbed me. Like, I was uncomfortable fighting that for the first time.
Yeah, I hate, like, giant spiders and stuff like that.
So the Nursilla, which is kind of the giant spider of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, that kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies?
I don't know
if
that
you've
one.
Even faced one?
I don't think I have, but it probably will.
Oh, we'll have to play that game so that we can scare the heck out of you by facing a Nursilla. So, that's your first urgent quest in the online.
That's probably why.
Quests. Yeah.
Because I haven't played online.
Oh. You're an odd one, aren't you? Well, we will remedy that eventually. But for now, let us give you listeners this lovely surprise of ours. Okay, we're going to do a Mad Lib, a Halloween one, but with Nintendo fill-in words, basically. So, Bradley, I'm going to tell you the parts of speech. Or the objects, the items, the people that you need to... basically, the blank spaces that you need to fill in.
Yes.
And they have to be Nintendo related, and then we're going to read us a story.
Okay.
About Nintendo characters in a Halloween surprise. I think that's the name of the story. So let's do this. So the first space is a movie character, but you can just go with a Nintendo character. I think that will work.
Okay, Toad.
Toad. I love this so far. Okay, a type of transportation, but plural. So multiple types of yeah, I think you get it.
Carts?
Carts. Not bad. Okay, an adjective, which describes a noun.
Let's see.
That is kind of a hard one. There aren't a lot of yeah. Nintendo-related ones.
Polka dotted?
Polka dotted. Works for me.
I'm just thinking of Toad.
Oh, okay. All things Toad all the time. Okay, another adjective.
Spiky for Bowser.
Spiky for Bowser. A type of clothing.
Ooh, overalls.
Overalls. I wore that today for my costume. Yeah. A noun. Yeah, that was fun.
A noun. It can't be a person. So let's
see. I guess it could be. Or a type of person, like a Yoshi or something.
Yeah, Yoshi. Let's pick a Yoshi.
A Yoshi. Okay, a body part.
Samus's arm cannon.
Arm cannon. Okay. Exclamation.
Exclamation. Yeah. Oh, just like Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Okay. Let me spell that right. Alright, a noun.
A boo.
A past tense action verb. I don't think the word action is really necessary there. Just go with the past tense verb.
jumped.
All right. For Mario, I'm guessing.
Yeah, or Toad, I guess.
Okay, another body part. This one has to be different from arm cannon.
Is a mustache a body part?
Oh, it works for me. The crazier, the better anyway. So, let's see. A big number.
9,000.
Is that from something?
Over 9,000. I think it's Dragon Ball Z or something.
Okay. That's not Nintendo. Not much anyway, but that's okay. A relative's name? Let's just go with anyone's name from Nintendo.
Peach.
Is Peach related to anybody in the Nintendo universe?
Maybe Rosalina, I think. Hmm. A little bit, maybe.
Did you see like a theory video on that or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It doesn't sound canon to me, but that's just me.
I'd say she's kind of related to the Toads, just because they're kind of like her servants.
Huh. That's not a bad one. And she is Princess Toadstool, so.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yep. All right, the next word needs to be a verb ending in ing.
Running
for Mario.
Or okay, Toad.
I guess any Nintendo character can run almost, so.
Toad's super fast in Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, that's true. I like it. So we got a lot of Toad words here.
I do.
All right, the last one is an animal.
Oh.
Just go with like an enemy in Mario cheap. Or something. Oh, a cheap. All right, I'm not sure what this is going to end up like, but here we go. All right, here is our lovely Halloween story for you listeners and for you, Bradley.
My body is ready.
For Halloween this year, I decided to dress as Toad. So I wore my polka-dotted overalls on my arm cannon and a boo on my mustache. Then Peach, my pet Cheep Cheep, and I ran outside to go trick-or-treating. We expected to see tons of kids on this street. Instead, the streets were completely empty. Something weird was going on. As we started walking toward home, I noticed lots of carts in our driveway and heard a noise coming from the house. Suddenly, I saw that the whole neighborhood was at my house to throw us a surprise party. Before they saw us, we sneaked into the kitchen, put on our spiky masks, and jumped out of a Yoshi, yelling, Mamma Mia! Everyone jumped at least 9,000 feet in the air and then burst out running. Guess the joke was on them. So there's our story for you.
I like the burst out of a Yoshi.
They burst out of a Yoshi yelling, Mamma Mia! That works pretty well, actually, if you're Mario. But technically, you're dressed as Toad, so I don't know.
It just mix it all together.
Yeah. I love Peach, the pet Cheep Cheep.
Oh yeah, that was good.
The cheap named Peach. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So that concludes our episode of the podcast as well. Hope you guys enjoyed our lovely little surprise there at the end. I know I did. So I have a couple of matters of business to talk about here at the end of our episode 35 of the podcast. First of all, October is getting close to being over, and instead of waiting until the first day of November to tell you guys what we're playing next for Game of the Month Club, we're going to tell you right now so that you can start kind of preparing to get the game or whatever. This one isn't too hard to acquire. It is Paper Mario, an N64 game that you can get like on the Wii and the Wii U virtual console. So pretty easy to acquire. Classic game. Hang on a sec. Let me go make sure I know who, what's the word? Suggested this one.
Yes.
Because this was suggested by a listener. If I can find the right link on my computer here, I can find it. I promise. And if the link will load, Bradley, you should, you always seem to go faster than me.
I got it. At night, I don't know how to pronounce this. at night, it Gant.
Someone on Twitter. Gant, yeah. Something Gant.
You try to pronounce it. I can't. At night, a Gant. Something like that.
I've got mine loading. Okay. Paper Mario. Yeah. At night, T Gant.
Oh, night, T Gant. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So if you want to go look him up on Twitter, you know, fellow Nintendo fan, he's at Knight spelled K-N-I-T-E, and then the letter T, and then Gant, which is spelled G-A-N-T-T.
So, it's a complicated one.
Yeah, that's what we'll be playing for the month of November for the Game of the Month Club. Also, we will be talking about Gargoyle's Quest during the podcast, but we're waiting until next week to do that, because that is when Matt is coming back, and we didn't really want to do that without him, so we couldn't bear to do it without Matt here.
We need our Mateo.
That's when we'll be talking about what if we just play this month? Gargoyle's Quest, there we go. And just as a quick status update, I am getting close to finishing the game. So for those of you who are worried that I'm not playing it anymore for some reason, don't worry about it. I'm on it.
Is it long?
No, not really. I'm like, last time I checked how long I'd been playing, it had been 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Oh.
And like I say, I'm getting close, so, you know, you could probably beat it in around 3 hours if you...
Yeah, it's a Game Boy game. They're usually small.
Yeah. Excellent game, though, but we'll get into that next week. So be sure to go to the iTunes store, you listeners, that is, to give us a rating. Just go into the iTunes store. If you're not already subscribed, you can go find it easily enough by just searching Nintendo Fever with no space in between Nintendo and Fever. And our podcast will come up. You can go quickly give us a rating. And if you're feeling generous, give us a review as well. That would be very much appreciated so that we can possibly get new listeners that way.
Oh, yeah.
Also, be sure to check out NintendoFever.com for the written content that we have going on the site. We're doing pretty good at keeping up on that. And so come and chat with us there in the comments section and all. And yeah, I think that covers it for this week. Also, you can go send us an email at podcasts@nintendofever.com. Let us know what you thought of this episode of the podcast, or send us questions that we can discuss in a future episode. Also, what was I asking for earlier? Oh, yeah. Tell us your story about catching a scorpion in Animal Crossing New Leaf, if you have done that. That's your email that you can send us this week. Or you can also tweet us. You could tweet me at Holly Felmuth.
And me at Bradley Cragen.
Yep. Or also you could tweet at Nintendo Fever. That works also. Be sure to also go check out Bradley's YouTube channel. You can search Bradley News 11 on YouTube and find him that way.
I just put up a review for Triforce Heroes, so you can check that out.
Yeah, go do that and get all of his thoughts. We got a lot of them today, but if you want some serious business, go watch the video review, so that'll be good. And he's got content constantly coming in, and so really good to go check out Bradley on YouTube. So that brings us to the end of episode 35 of the Nintendo Fever podcast. Thanks for listening. This has been Holly Felmuth and Bradley Cragen, and we're signing off until next week. See you later.
Bye.